This podcast is brought to you by Boomer Naturals Face Coverings. Go to HowieCarShow.com and click on the Boomer Naturals Face Covering banner. At checkout, put in code HowieCar20 and save 20%. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
President Trump is still calling for an aggressive response to demonstrators, this time in Seattle.
Meanwhile, the president today lashing out at protesters, including in Seattle, where police are clashing with demonstrators in encampments.
In Seattle tonight, demonstrators now seizing a six-block area outside a police station, creating what they're calling a police-free zone.
Demonstrators.
Protesters. Demonstrators.
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 No, they're terrorists.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
They're in the street fighting a system of domination.
How long do you think Seattle in those few blocks looks like this?
I don't know. We could have the summer of love.
I can't wait till summer, cause it's gonna be a summer of love.
Our 911 response times have tripled in the area.
Rapes, robberies, and all sorts of violent accidents have been occurring in the area.
People of Seattle! Listen to me! We are not barbarians!
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
I think it's clear from the amicus position now that they want to take General Flynn to sentencing as soon as possible and impose upon him the maximum possible sentence, when the ultimate result has to be the grant of the motion to dismiss. The government's just wasting resources out the wazoo pursuing this.
That is a lucid, intelligent, well-thought-out objection.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Overruled.
This honorable court is not adjourned until Wednesday, December 9th at 9:30 a.m.
Unchained and unstoppable.
I'm the Vice President of the United States.
My name's Joe Biden. I'm a Democratic candidate for the United States Senate.
I got educated by the NAACP starting back in 1970 as a congressman.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. Could we call Chaz a hobo jungle, by the way? I was thinking that, you know, they keep wanting to call it demonstrators or protesters. How about calling them hobos? There's a lot of, there's always, Seattle was ahead of the curve when it came to homeless in the street. I remember going out there maybe 25 years ago, and I couldn't believe it. And, you know, I worked for many years in the south end of Boston, right around the corner from the Pine Street Inn. I mean, I'm used to seeing a lot of homeless people on the street, and I was surprised. 844-500-4242. I was thinking of something else. You know, this judge, or these two judges, Gleason, he's retired now, and Emmett Sullivan. They want to be judges and they want to be prosecutors at the same time. You can't. You got to pick. You have to pick. You can be a prosecutor or you can be a judge, but you can't be a prosecutor and a judge. Not in this country. Not yet, anyway. 844-500-4242. That is the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. It's time now for the chump line.
So fat-headed Marty Walsh thinks that racism's a health crisis. Does that mean he can keep the city locked down till after racism's over?
That hadn't occurred to me. It's the logical next question, though. You're right about that. By the way, Uber Jason is back on the road. He says it was a long 2 weeks, but let the hustle continue. Can I get a shout out, Grace, for the first day back? Good luck. Grace isn't here at this moment, Uber Jason, but I'm here and looking at the text messages coming in, so good luck.
Good luck, Uber Jason.
Go ahead.
Hey, Marty, you know what else is a public health crisis? Morons like you holding public office.
Yeah, you know, looters are a public health crisis, too. How about that guy from Braintree that or now lives in Dorchester shooting 11 shots at the Boston police the other night on Tremont Street? How about those hippies and the Antifa types burning the police cruisers on Tremont Street? How about all the looting on Newbury Street, on Boylston Street, downtown crossing? That a public health crisis too, Marty? The Chump Line is brought to you by Matthews Brothers, America's oldest window manufacturer. This week, taking some time to send a big thank you out to all the windy doties of the world who, despite the onslaught of negative news and an ever-increasing pace, managed to keep a cheery disposition by doing what they've always done, listening to Howie Carr.
Well, Lovie, I don't blame the Berklee School of Music for banning the police. That band hasn't had a hit record in almost 40 years, and their lead singer Bono has nothing on James Taylor. So let's not get silly here.
You know, one of the guys who got in a jam for sexual harassment, so-called, is James Taylor's little brother, Livingston Taylor. And apparently somebody's, you know, he was just saying that the women, you know, looked good or something like that. And they asked the guy in the class, you know, do you think Livingston Taylor was sexually harassing anybody? And the male student said, no, he's just a dumb old guy, dumb old man. And then somebody else was saying he's one of the biggest names at the school. And I thought to myself, if his last name was Livingston Smith, he wouldn't be teaching at Berklee. He'd be working as a short order cook somewhere. He's the Ted Kennedy of the Berklee College of Music.
Hey, Howie, I hear in Chaz they have first aid tents in case you fall off your bike.
I didn't come here to be made sport of. You know what happened to my bike if I was in Chaz? It would be stolen. It would be stolen, along with everything else.
Howie! I'm calling you from the Howie Carr Nation Autonomous Zone! We need reinforcement! Send beer! Help!
Yeah, there won't be any need to send anything vegan. Send something from Butcher Box. Send some filet mignons that we can cook up. Send some Italian sausages, hot Italian sausages. And we'll cook them by the Christopher Columbus statue. Statue. What is the statute of limitations on ripping down statues, by the way?
That's a very good question, Howie. But there's a video on Twitter going around right now of, I guess, this community food stand in Chaz.
Yes.
There's just one of these guys goes up and says, is the pizza ready yet? Are the hot pockets almost done, Ma?
They're having a big birthday rally for President Trump down here on Sunday. They're going to have the boats are going to be coming down the intercoastal waterway Lake Worth again as they were a few weeks ago, and since I'm right on Lake Worth, we will have some nice video for you. We'll tweet it out on Sunday. They say they're going to be hundreds of boats again coming down with the big Trump flags, and they're going to go right down to the Southern Boulevard Bridge. And so we should have some be on the lookout for some good footage on Sunday afternoon.
So now Chaz is in the summer of love. Can I wear my MAGA hat in there and see how much love I get?
As long as you put a flower behind your ear, you should be okay, according to Scott McKenzie. Be sure to wear some flowers in your hair if you're coming to Seattle, to Chaz.
So, Howie, I understand they're building big walls in Chaz to keep the police out. Well, why don't we start on the other side, build them even higher, and keep them idiots in?
That's right. They can paint them black, like Trump was saying, to make them hotter, to keep the cops out of Chaz. So let's see. They have armed men with guns, check, which they don't like anywhere else. They have walls to keep people out, which they don't like anywhere else, check. And you have to show ID to get into Chaz, which they don't like anywhere else, especially in voting booths, check.
You know what Trump really needs to do is create a video or just tweet out a criticism of their wall.
That's a pathetic excuse for a wall. It's got to be at least 25 feet higher with death spiky things on the top. That's pathetic.
My wall is 200 miles long now. Their wall isn't even a block long.
I could get over that, and if I can get over it, it's not high enough.
It's pretty rich that Biden thinks Trump is going to try and steal the election after the Democrats and the FBI attempted a coup.
You know, the ironic thing is he said that on Trevor Noah's show, or Noah Trevor, I can never get it straight. And apparently, though, they cut it. They didn't even bother to, you know, paper over the jump cut by going back to the host, whatever his name is, nodding. They just cut it because he was so incoherent when he said that Trump was going to steal the election. And Byron York had a good point. He said, we need to know exactly what he said. If he's accusing his opponent of trying to steal the election, and CBS won't even run the whole cut because it's so incoherent. What does that tell you? It tells you what you already knew, which is Joe Biden's mental capacity is not returning as he gets older and older.
Raz Simone calling. Just walk away. Leave the soy-based meat substitute, and there will be an end to the horror.
One of the texters wants to know, do they have bike paths in Chaz? These are all excellent questions that we must have answered. Do you think maybe the terrorist warlord rapper is going to be on any of the Sunday morning programs? I hope so.
Grace and Tucker, Taylor, it's Howie. You thought it was pretty funny to quiz me on the movie stars of your generation yesterday, but let's see if you can name any movie stars from my generation we're in, like Douglas Fairbanks, Mary Pickford, Lillian Gish, ba-ba-ba-boom, and of course my former doppelganger, Patty Arbuckle. Well, good luck, you young whippersnappers.
I recognize the names. I know Fatty Arbuckle's from our gang or the Little Rascals.
No.
Oh, he was a comedian, wasn't he?
He was the comedian who they found a young starlet dead in his hotel room in San Francisco, and it was by the name of Virginia Rapp, RAPPE, and it's on the first page of Hollywood Babylon. The author Kenneth Anger visits the grave of Virginia Rapp. He was framed, basically, Fatty Arbuckle. Douglas Fairbanks was a little before my time. My father knew Douglas Fairbanks Jr. He hung out in Palm Beach. Actually, Grace, I'll show you next week when you're down here. I'll show you they have a picture of Douglas Fairbanks Jr. and his wife when they appeared in Palm Beach in the 1940s at the Paramount Theater for one of his Screen Gems was opening.
Okay, but then you have to watch a whole series of Kristen Bell on NBC.
No, I didn't say you had to watch any of the Douglas Fairbanks movie. I'm just going to point out the picture, and we'll just keep walking to a nice restaurant somewhere where you can sit at a bar, which is something you're never going to be able to do, apparently, again in Massachusetts.
Sounds good. If there's food involved, I'm in.
It's so pleasant. Every night after the show, I like to take a walk because my neighborhood, there's a lot of restaurants.
Thank you for calling Howie Carr, you chump.
And I just like to see, you know what? As much as I like to see just people sitting at the table and enjoying themselves, I like to see them even more sitting at the bar and enjoying themselves. I'm not rubbing it in. I just like to know that there are some places in America where life goes on. Without being, where you don't have to be harassed by deep state Democrats like Charlie Parker. All right, that's it for the Chump Line today. The Chump Line is the recorded voicemail message service of the Howie Carr Show. You can call and leave a message at any hour of the day or night, including weekends. The Chump Line number, if you'd like to leave such a message, 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. Press 2 for the Chump Line. Leave your message. We may or may not play it at this time each weekday. And if you can't get enough of the Chump Line and want more, go to Chopped Chumps. That's our podcast that we post every evening after the show around 7 o'clock. All the Chump Line messages that didn't make it onto the air, you can get them in a podcast form wherever you get your Howie Carr podcast, Chopped Chumps. The Chump Line is brought to you by Matthews Brothers, America's oldest window manufacturer. This week, taking some time to send a big thank you out to all the windy doties of the world who, despite the onslaught of negative news at an ever-increasing pace, managed to keep a cheery disposition by doing what they've always done, listening to Howie Carr.
Well, Lovie, I don't blame the Berklee School of Music for banning The Police. That band hasn't had a hit record in almost 40 years, and their lead singer Bono has nothing on James Taylor. So let's not get silly here.
That was a good message. He should have just referenced Livingston Taylor, though. Although you have to have read those earlier stories about the alleged sexual harassment at Berklee to know that Livingston Taylor still figures in there. He was at a Jubilee once at Carolina before they ended Jubilee. That was a big spring musical festival. And I guess James Taylor cost too much money, so they went to Livingston. I'm Howie Carr.
If you change the station, the moon bats win. You're listening to The Howie Carr Show.
This is Jay in Hingham, Massachusetts.
This is Gloria from Haverhill, Mass.
Hi, this is Joe from Howie in the Hills, Florida. And this is The Howie Carr Show.
I'm a charger that charges through the night like an orange bolt of lightning, passing everything in sight. I'm the best pal the Duke boys ever had.
Unlike home security systems that are so complicated you never use them, SimpliSafe was designed to be easy while protecting your whole home 24/7. Head to SimpliSafeHowie.com and get free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Would you risk the coronavirus to attend a Trump rally?
Absolutely.
81% say yes.
This is a sad story from Minneapolis. There was a hotel downtown. It was hurt in the looting, and you know it was shut down during the COVID-19. The Sheraton Minneapolis Midtown Hotel. So after the riots, it was damaged and you know in tough shape. So it said, "What the hell?" The owner said, "We'll open the doors for the homeless." Would you care to guess how this story ends, Taylor? The hotel in Minneapolis opening its doors to the homeless?
Let's see. Flooding or fire? Which one?
No, according to
flooding,
the story...
Flooding, fire, or feces?
According to BizPack Review, they've turned the hotel into a shanty town marked by squalor and rampant drug use. Who could have ever predicted this? Volunteers operating the shelter, that was the hotel, were reportedly allowing the new residents to bring in drugs and alcohol, leading to reports of widespread drug use and overdoses. So they tried to throw them out of the hotel. The owner tried to throw them out of the hotel, and they refused to go until they could receive new, immediate, quote, dignified housing, because they'd been so dignified with their use of the hotel. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. Just to finish the story about Sanctuary Hotel in Minneapolis that was trashed by the winos and the bums that they let in. Apparently, they wanted to be... the owners wanted to eject them for wrecking the hotel. And they refused to leave, and they had a press conference. And they said that trashing the hotel is, quote, a means of addressing historic deep disparities and inequalities. This is pragmatic, and this has inspired a lot of people. Oh, that's a very heartwarming story, isn't it? There was a woman went down there. Apparently, her daughter was trying to be a volunteer at the hotel, so she went down to deliver some goods to it. And according to one of the reporters, the mother, she was in tears saying, this is just like out of a horror movie. Do you realize this is the second time in a week we've had people referring to what's going on in this country as like something out of a horror movie? First, it was Charlie Chase, who was assaulted in Fall River. Now it's this woman in Minneapolis saying the hotel that was trashed by the local transient population, and I'm being kind, was like something out of a horror movie.
Instead of here's Johnny, it's here's Chaz.
Chaz, an autonomous zone coming soon to a city near you, if you're unlucky. If your mayor is a wuss like Marty Walsh or Joe Curtatone, et cetera, et cetera. All right, time now for Police Blotter Facts Friday.
Whenever the laws of any state are broken, a duly authorized organization swings into action.
Can we still call it Police Blotter Facts Friday?
I was just going to say, we've gotten a lot of social pushback. The same people who are railing against the Paw Patrol are telling us that we need to change the name from Police Blotter Facts Friday to Chaz Blotter Facts Friday. We will not be doing that. We are going to stand strong, and we will be keeping it as PBFF.
That's right. And I am Howie Carr. I am the terrorist warlord who rules with an iron fist over Police Blotter Facts Friday.
While on your pink girly bike.
And I will continue to do so. You know how the Chump Line works. All week long, we ask you to send in your funny items or stories from your local daily or weekly newspaper. Many papers still, at least for the time being, have columns that are actually written by the police department, at least till they're defunded and disbanded. They call them police log or police blotter, or it could be a standalone story. And we ask you to send these items or stories to Grace@HowieCarshow.com, Grace@HowieCarshow.com, or you can still fax them to us at 857-284-8864, 857-284-8864. And that goes directly to our fax machine in New England, Chaz.
Howie, do you think there'll be a huge uptick in police blotter fax stories if the Chaz movement starts to take over? Dumpsters on fire, et cetera, et cetera. I'm going to have a huge stack of winners to get through.
I tell you, I would much rather run into a Florida man than a Chaz man any day of the week.
100%. I mean, a Florida man will probably offer you a drink or something.
Right. Yeah, Florida man has some cash in his pocket. He may have gotten it in an untoward manner, shall we say.
A warm six-pack for you both to share.
Yeah, a Chaz man just has his hand out for something from you.
Okay, guys, come on.
Okay, here are the runners-up. The winners will get a copy of What Really Happened in honor of the president's birthday this Sunday. But here are the runners-up. They do not win a prize, but they are fabulous. Chili sauce-covered man strangled by his angry ex-girlfriend.
Did this happen in Florida?
No, this actually happened in Tennessee. So you can imagine how yummy the chili must have been.
He must have gotten himself into a stew.
Mm-hmm. 27-year-old Zoe Stabbs was charged with aggravated assault by strangulation and vandalism after she ripped off her ex-boyfriend's clothes and scratched him after an argument. When he tried to escape, she threw a drink at his car, threatened to put sugar in his gas tank, scratched his car with a knife, and poured chili sauce on him.
Wow. That reminds me of the old country song, All My Exes Live in Texas. That is why I live in Tennessee. But apparently it didn't work out. Even though all of his exes lived in Texas, one of them followed him to Tennessee.
Yes, and this man who we're talking about is Braulio Anguiano Arevalo. He was the man covered in chili sauce.
Must have been hot chili sauce, given his name.
A woman shoves and scratches her girlfriend's brother over cigarette. 27-year-old Darisha Rice was charged with domestic assault after attacking her girlfriend's brother and locking him out of his own residence for smoking a cigarette inside the home.
What kind of cigarette was it, Grace?
It does not say, Howie. And I did not call. I feel as though the police have enough on their plates right now. I did not call to inquire. Darius Benford informed law enforcement that he had been locked out of his home by his sister, Shayla Benford, and her girlfriend, Darisha Rice. He was smoking a cigarette while inside the home. Rice responded to this by taking the cigarette out of his mouth. She shoved him against a wall and scratched his wrist. She denies this, but there's still a mugshot, so I'm guessing they had some more evidence against her.
Is Larisha a looker?
Darisha. Howard, Darisha. You have to look for yourself. I do not participate in this courtroom antic. Man faces DUI charges.
By the way,
the guy
in Tennessee, someone says he received a chilly reception.
Very good. Palm Beach.
Ha, 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 ha.
A man faces DUI charges after driving on Lake Trail in Palm Beach.
This was a close call for me, Grace.
It says the trail is popular with walkers, runners, and bicyclists.
He was a little south of where I operate.
Have you ever been on Lake Trail?
That's the bike path.
Oh, so you go on there every day?
Every day.
How you could have been our man on the street for this. And this is the one time you're not on that damn bicycle?
He could have been one with the street.
Yes.
If you were there at the right time.
I told you, it was a little south of where I go. And it was also, I think, 6:30 at night. So I'm on the air at 6:30 at night.
That's
thank
after
goodness.
Curfew, isn't it?
I was going to say, is that when they make all the older
curfew,
people get off
curfew
the sidewalk?
Has been... Hey, listen, we're having
so they
a...
They had it right all along.
We're back in free America. Curfew doesn't start until midnight now. It's gone from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock to midnight.
Hey, old man Carr is back on the bike trail.
Let's get him.
A Loxahatchee. I always say that wrong, Howie.
Loxahatchee.
McKay might have to teach me how to say that. A Loxahatchee man is facing DUI charges.
All of our trouble on the island is caused by Loxahatchee man.
Okay, that is painting with an extremely broad brush. I speak for the people of Loxahatchee, and I say that is not a kind thing to say. Ricky Lynn Malone hit several pieces of town property with his vehicle as he left the Lake Trail, which is off limits to motor vehicles. He eventually stopped between Coconut Row, which is my favorite street in Palm Beach, and Royal Ponciana Way. Malone had dilated pupils and was unsteady on his feet. He was also having trouble putting sentences together and told police he didn't know where he was or what happened. Police found...
So far, they're describing Joe Biden.
Police found several prescription bottles inside Malone's car, but nothing that could cause drowsiness.
Yes.
Do you know
Thank
where you
goodness.
Are, sir? Is this Keene, Iowa?
I'm in Tulsa, Texas.
I'm a
or
congressman.
Is it Keene, Vermont?
I'm a congressman running for Senate.
As everyone knows, Police Blotter Facts Friday is brought to you by Pantadosi Baking Company, celebrating over 100 years of baking excellence since 1916. I love Pantadosi bread. I'm going to have a little bit tonight with my meatballs and spaghetti. Everyone should check out Pantadosi Baking Company. Now, back to the runners-up. Python hunter left bleeding after fight with 17-footer.
17-footer?
Yes. Hunter Mike Kimmel wrapped a cloth bag around his arm to stop the bleeding and tried to settle his breathing.
Where the hell are the alligators when you need them, Grace?
Alone and deep in the Everglades, the state-contracted python hunter had just wrestled with an estimated 17-foot snake named Dracula he found in a tangle of underbrush.
What a great name.
Thanks. Kimmel.
He was bigger than three Draculas.
I'm glad you guys like that name. Kimmel, who said in an Instagram post that the invasive reptile probably weighed more than he does, grabbed the snake by its tail, underestimating its reach. Never underestimate a snake.
One that's 17 feet long, especially.
It bit him, sinking its teeth deep into his arm. She got me, son. I got her, though. For some reason, I want to read this in an Australian accent.
Yeah, it's like the Crocodile Hunter.
But no, you need Florida. A cracker. He's a cracker. He's Southern.
She got me, son. I got her, though. Damn, I'm leaking everywhere.
No, hot damn. Hot damn. I'm leaking everywhere.
I can't add in my own words, Howie. I got to read the transcript.
Hot damn seems appropriate for the occasion.
But it's the python that made him a social media star, with videos showing him catching three pythons at once and coming upon a python nest full of eggs. Yeah, so this guy, Mike Kimmel, he oftentimes finds himself face-to-face with pythons, but this one really got him good. When we get back, I have a few more runners-up, and then I have two winners that Howie is going to love.
I'm Howie Carr.
He's the maestro of microaggression. He's Howie Carr.
Hi, my name is Jane Lucas, and I am from the town of South China, Maine.
This is Al from Merrimack, New Hampshire.
Hey, I'm Angela from Brewster on the Cape, and this is the one and the only Howie Carr Show.
All right, we're back with Police Blotter Facts Friday. We may have time for one or two runners up, and then we'll have the two winners.
I changed my mind, Howie. The winners are too good, but they're kind of dense, so I got to get right to them.
Okay.
Okay, so this is the first one, and this is one unlike any police blotter winner I've ever had. Argument among ghost hunters leads to stabbing.
Ghost hunters?
Yes.
Dun 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 dun. I can't believe you didn't have the music ready for us, Taylor.
Authorities in Arkansas say that the conclusion of a late-night ghost hunt turned ugly when one of the spirit seekers allegedly stabbed his fellow investigator of the unknown.
How do we know it wasn't a haint?
What is that?
A ghost. That's what they call it. That's a Southern word for a ghost, a haint.
I've never heard that before.
You never listened to 50s rock songs.
Well, that goes
ain't no
saying.
Haint gonna drive me out.
The bizarre altercation reportedly took place at around 2 a.m. this past Tuesday morning when a trio of...
Oh, that's the haint hour, 2 a.m.
When a trio of self-described paranormal hunters finished their expedition at an unnamed cemetery in the city of Little Rock. At some point during their attempt at contacting the other side, however, tempers flared and violence soon followed.
Did you goose me, boy? No, it was that haint.
They made their way back to their car, and an argument erupted over who would be driving them back to their hotel. Mark Galloway won the battle of wills and wound up behind the wheel. As they made their way down the road, cops say a female member of the group indicated that she was having difficulty breathing, and asked Galloway to pull the car over so that she could regain her composure. The woman and another ghost hunter in the back seat attempted to overtake Galloway after he refused to pull the car over. He responded by reaching around and stabbing the other individual in the leg.
So Galloway, wait a second, Grace. So Galloway, the driver, he was he what Joe Biden would call an unarmed man with a knife?
Yeah, he did the right thing, too, because he went for the leg, which Joe Biden's a big proponent of. While one might think such a skirmish would result in the immediate breakup of the group of ghost hunters, they apparently continued on their ride together back to their motel, perhaps because that was the only place they could go and they only had one way of getting there at 2 in the morning.
Was this a throuple of ghost hunters?
Howie, throuple.
Throuple of ghost hunters?
I don't know. I wouldn't put it past them. I mean, they're all into the unknown. Man, okay, this is our
winner.
If we
have a problem, who should we call, Grace?
Ghostbusters. Right?
Taylor, come on.
Yes.
Where's Roy Parker Jr. here?
You expected me to have him ready at a moment's notice?
I thought you would get a heads up on what the winner was going to be and have him ready to go.
Grace tells me nothing.
No, I keep everything a secret. But maybe from now on I will, so we can have a little music. Man strips at
Limerick guy says one of the ghost hunters apparently was spooked.
Yes, indeed. Man strips at Pensacola flea market, steals car naked. Okay, this one also has a lot of details that go into
it. So this is a Florida man.
Yes, this is a Florida
man. I've been waiting for
a
Florida man.
A naked Florida man. It's a twofer.
I mean, it's, you know, it's hot down here. It's almost the summer solstice, and there wasn't a single Florida. Well, there, I guess the python hunter was a Florida man.
A man in Escambia County is accused of going on a crime spree that included getting naked at a flea market, stealing a car, breaking into a home, and ripping someone's mailbox out of the ground. Those and many other accusations landed 23-year-old Lahoris Pickett Jr. in jail on more than two dozen counts on charges ranging from burglary. That's such a tough word for me. Burglary.
You know, it's tough enough to be named Horace, but then your parents name you La Horace.
It's a French twist. La Horace. So this all happened within less than an hour on Wednesday. Pickett jumped onto a coin machine and started punching and kicking it. People inside the diner said Pickett then got on the ground, exposed his penis, and started screaming. One customer said Pickett jumped on his shoulders. Pickett is also...
Wow, I thought it started
really
at a flea market, Grace. Now you're telling me it started at a diner.
Well, Howie, there's a map that goes along with the story so you can follow Lahoris's journey.
When did he reach the flea market?
I don't know. I'm all out of answers. Maybe we'll have Lahoris call in and give us a more accurate description of the
night. Dr. Matt, the vet, will be with us when we come back. I'm Howie Carr.